You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
One thing I can say is that the contributors to the FQXI Springer volume on how humanity should steer the future have shown a lot of ingenuity in trying to imagine the problems civilization may face in the future without having a clear idea about new technologies the coming centuries will have to offer. It's amazing to think just how unimaginably far we've come in the past couple of hundred years. In the 18th century, we had the Industrial Revolution, which built on advances in thermodynamics. That's the science of heat and energy transfer. The 20th century saw the discovery of quantum mechanics, which led to the invention of the transistor and, in turn, today's digital revolution. But what further advances could we make if we were able to combine both of these into one theory of quantum thermodynamics? That's something that FQXI's Jonathan Oppenheim, a quantum physicist at University College London, has been thinking about, as he explained to reporter Colin Stewart.
Physicist Jonathan Oppenheim has recently been awarded a large FQXI grant to explore the relationship between quantum theory and thermodynamics. I went to visit him in his office at University College London, and I started by asking him to tell me more about the research he's doing with the grant money.
So we know what the laws of thermodynamics are, and they're laws which are statistical in nature. So they're valid for very, say, large gases or steam engines. They're valid for large systems or systems composed of many particles. And the question I'm interested in is, are there laws of thermodynamics at the quantum level? So if, rather than trying to look at some average laws for a gas at very large volume, we could imagine looking at just one of those gas molecules and asking, are there laws of thermodynamics which are applicable to that atom which is behaving quantum mechanically? It turned out to be quite surprising, actually, that we were able to find laws of thermodynamics at the quantum scale. And they take on forms which look very similar to the laws of thermodynamics which are applicable to large objects. And so that was quite surprising.
Why is it important to know how individual particles are behaving thermodynamically?
What we're doing at the moment is looking at smaller and smaller objects, and often at colder and colder temperatures. That's what we're doing in understanding the quantum world. We're looking at these sorts of objects in the lab, and people are constructing little nanorobots, for example, that can extract work. Or in the human body, we are thinking of things as operating thermodynamically, and they're often very small systems. They're not large systems, and so that's pushing you to ask these sorts of questions. But I think more interestingly, the laws of thermodynamics are probably the most broadly applicable set of laws we have in physics, because they're somehow independent of the microscopic laws of physics. You know, the second law, for example, which says that the entropy of a closed system has to always increase, or at least that's one way of formulating it. That's a law which is very robust and applies, some people think, regardless of what the laws of physics are, and it gives you an arrow of time, for example, regardless of what the underlying laws of physics are. So the laws of thermodynamics are really applicable to all branches and all areas of physics, and they're somehow more universal, and we can derive them mathematically, and they don't seem to be contingent on the particular universe we happen to be living in. So in some sense, maybe the most interesting set of physical laws we have. And so if you're interested in quantum mechanics, as I am, then you push naturally to ask that question, well, do they apply the quantum scale? Let me give an example. So the second law of thermodynamics is often stated by saying that the entropy of a closed system has to increase. So things get more disordered as time goes on. Your room gets messier rather than tidier, or it takes some work in order to clean your room up, whereas getting messier just seems to happen naturally. If we look at a film backwards, we can tell that something funny is going on, because we'll have a broken vase which suddenly becomes more ordered, and we know that's wrong. That seems to violate the second law of thermodynamics. So the second law is often phrased as that the entropy increases. I prefer to think of it as saying that something called the free energy always decreases. And that's true of large gases. And the funny thing is that at the quantum scale, that law still holds. But actually, there's a whole bunch of other free energies which also have to go down. So the ordinary second law tells us that the free energy has to go down, but it turns out that there's all these other free energies, and they all have to go down as well. And what happens is that for very large macroscopic systems, classical systems, all these free energies turn out to be equal to the same ordinary free energy, but for quantum systems, they're all different. That means that there's many second laws for quantum systems, and so there's more restrictions on what a single quantum particle can do.
We normally think of entropy as a measure of disorder. Can a single particle be disordered? If not, what do you mean by the entropy when we talk about a single particle?
Well, you might say that your knowledge of it may have some entropy. So the single particle, you might not know exactly what quantum state it's in. You could imagine a particle with a spin, which is pointing up or down, and we might not know whether it's pointing up or down. And so in that sense, we would say that we have some lack of knowledge about the state of the system, and therefore this quantum particle has some entropy. So with a very large gas, there's a sense of order and disorder and how much we know about the gas and how much we don't. But of a single particle, we can also have a lack of knowledge about it, and there can also be an entropy.
Why is it that there are many second laws for quantum particles, but effectively only one for macroscopic particles?
Imagine you're flipping a coin many times. Each coin toss you do is quite unpredictable. You don't know if you're going to get heads or tails. Each individual coin toss is pretty random. I won't be able to tell you much about what's going to happen. But if I do it many times, then I can say a lot about the result of those many coin tosses. For example, I can tell you that roughly half of them will be heads and half of them will be tails. And the chance that you get, for example, all heads or all tails is just never going to happen. And so it turns out that the more coins you flip, the closer you get to a series of coin flips, which are 50% heads, 50% tails. It's almost never going to happen that we're very different from 50% heads, 50% tails. Let's just forget about all those other cases, and let's only look at the ones where we're approximately 50% heads, 50% tails. And that is enough to describe the system completely, pretty much. Because everything else happens with such small probability that it almost never happens, and you can just ignore it. This is called the law of large numbers, and what it means is that even though each individual coin toss is not very predictable, a large series of coin tosses is very predictable. That predictability is what gives you only one second law. Whereas if you're trying to describe what's going to happen to just a few coin tosses, like three coins, then there's a lot more variance in what can happen, and so you have to have these additional constraints as to what can happen.
Now that we're beginning to get these thermodynamic rules of quantum particles, are there ways that can be practically applied?
It was more a fundamental question. It's just the question of, are there laws of thermodynamics at the quantum scale? They're meta-theories, right? Quantum mechanics is not as much a theory as a meta-theory. Quantum mechanics describes electromagnetism, it describes the electroweak force, it describes many different forces. And so it's somehow a framework in a particular law of nature. Same with thermodynamics, it's not dependent on the particular law. So I would say that quantum mechanics and thermodynamics are our big frameworks that we have in physics. And you really want to know if you can combine them. That seems a really important question. And I think that it was from that foundational nature of these two, we have these two big theories, or these two big meta-theories, can we combine them? For me, that was the interesting fundamental question. From a practical level, I think it's definitely the case that we're starting to probe that level. And so one example is, say, for quantum computers, we're trying to cool them in order for them to not have errors. And for all kinds of other quantum technology, you're trying to cool them as much as possible so that they work. And you can ask about the third law of thermodynamics, for example, which says that it takes an infinite number of steps or an infinite time to cool something to absolute zero. And you could ask, well, now that we have the system, how cool can we get it to be if we only have, say, some amount of time? How cool can we get it? And that's an important question fundamentally, I think, and from a practical point of view as well. And it turns out that we can use our techniques to find out, for example, to get a more quantitative and robust and actually prove the third law of thermodynamics and tell us how long it takes to cool a few molecules down to a particular temperature.
You started out working in quantum gravity. Why did you switch?
Well, I moved from one to the other because I don't think the unification of quantum theory and gravity is just a long way off. It's unclear where we are on that journey, and it seemed to me that this was timely and that these are problems I could actually attack. And I thought equally fundamental and tells us a lot about the world we live in.
That was Jonathan Oppenheim speaking with Colin Stewart. On the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast, you'll find a link to Colin's profile of Oppenheim where you can learn more about his research.